introspective, inward-looking, self-examining, characterized by or given to introspection.
Welcome to the Introspective Podcast, your compass for internalizing the path towards optimal lifestyle design, business success, and mindful entrepreneurship with your host, Jake Anderson.
Hey, good morning, evening, good afternoon, wherever you're listening at in the world. Good day and welcome to another daily deep dive here on the Introspective Podcast. My name is Jake Anderson, and today we are going to talk about business franchises, among many other things, but how to get started with one, what are the risks, and what to expect as a franchise owner. Really thinking about that commitment as you're going into business entrepreneurship is so important. So we're going to be covering that today. And, you know, maybe this is something you've been thinking about. Maybe you want to open up that Subway, or perhaps you have that itch for a UPS store, or maybe you want to expand your portfolio with a Great Clips franchise, whatever that is. The choices are endless. And today I'm joined by franchise veteran Giuseppe Grammatico to bring light on this very topic. Giuseppe has owned a number of master franchise licenses and has enjoyed a successful franchising career, guiding over 100 individuals through business ownership, many for the first time. In addition to his 15 years in the franchising, he has also 20 years of sales, marketing, and management experience. He has assisted over 1,000 individuals and businesses with their investments and achieved over $1 billion in sales. I welcome to the show Giuseppe Grammatico. Giuseppe, how are you doing? Welcome to the Introspective Podcast.
Awesome, Jake. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it today.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And we, you know, we were talking before the show a little bit about franchising and one of the questions that had kind of brought up, I thought this would be a great place to start is, you know, it's not for everybody, you know, it's not for everybody. And I think that applies with many different business models, but I want to start there, like knowing that you've got this great experience in business franchises and it's certainly a viable model to kind of pursue in business. What would be some of the things that somebody who's just kind of thinking about the idea of getting into a franchise, maybe they want to start that. I just kind of listed off some examples. Maybe it's that Subway or the UPS store, mm-hmm. or what have you. Like what are some things that they should be thinking about as far as the commitment goes, the risk, and if it's answering that question, is this a good fit for me and why?
Right. Yeah. And yeah, so I appreciate that. So with franchising, it's not the right fit for everyone. Franchising is, you always hear the franchise industry. It's really not an industry. It's more of a proven business model. It's a company has put together a business model. They've vetted it. They've, you know, figured out through trial and error what are the best ways to sell the product and or service. So, so franchising is definitely what we call an unfair advantage. It's definitely a path where the odds are definitely in your favor since you have a franchise company helping you out, right? They're helping you out with the marketing. They've kind of created everything. We call it a business in a box. Right. And you can really just run with that system. But, you know, just like everything else, because I originally came from the investment world, there are multiple vehicles, right? So there are vehicles there. And what's a vehicle? It's a franchise business, a startup business. There's stock trading and just traditional investing. There's real estate. There's various vehicles to get you to where you want to be. So you're looking for essentially the vehicle that's right for you. And what I tell everyone is if you have decided and business ownership is the right fit, just ask yourself the question, do you want to create the product or service from scratch from the very beginning, or do you want that model created for you so that you can run with it? For myself, my family owned an Italian restaurant, non-franchise, just that business wasn't the right fit for me, although I enjoyed it, loved it, definitely miss it. But after working with a coach, we figured I wanted that system in place. So that's why I went the franchising route. So I basically help people figure out if business ownership is the right fit and if franchising is a good fit for them. And as I mentioned, it's, you know, a lot of questions to kind of figure that out.
Is there any, like, when it comes to thinking about a specific franchise you want to get into, is the franchise, people who own franchises, do they put any kind of, I guess, like a prospectus together in terms of you know, this is, as the owner of this franchise, this is what you're expected. This is what's expected of you. Maybe even, and I don't even know, like, if it's something where they phase it out, because I think some people might probably want to get into franchises as a way to, like, add to a portfolio. You know, I don't know. Maybe that's not even the right outlook. Mm-hmm. But I'm just curious, like, to know, like, do franchises or franchise owners, do they create any kind of, I guess, insight into, you know, what's to be expected as the owner of this franchise from a commitment of, like, time and responsibility, which you're accountable for, and things like that?
Yeah. So, you know, they figure out, you know, who's my ideal owner, because franchising, you're an extension of their brand. So they have their ideal owner. And to your point, there are many franchises, regardless if you have the money, they do not allow their franchise owners to be semi-absentee or more passive. They want the owner to have to be an owner operator, where you're functioning, just say 40 hours a week until, you know, maybe the first 6 months, a year, until you're really comfortable with the model. And then from there, maybe you hire a general manager. So they definitely have an ideal candidate who does well. You know, maybe a person that has great management skills, because that particular franchise is handling all the sales, and has an inbound and outbound call center, built in just for you. So, they do give you a franchise disclosure document, the FDD for short. And that just gives you all the legal, the financial requirements and things like that. And that's also part of it, of the picture as well, right? Not only, you know, are we looking for the owner that's going to run it, just say in this particular instance, full time, do they have the capital, not just to invest in the franchise fee, but do they have the money for the build out? If there's real estate involved, or, do they have 6 months living expense, because it's going to take some time to get the business up and running. So, they definitely have that. They definitely look for that in the, interview process when you have your intro call. But more importantly, when someone works with someone like myself, we kind of go through that in the very beginning stages and figuring out, you know, why you want to own a business, what does the business look like, you know, what's your, almost like a SWOT analysis, what are your strengths, what are your weaknesses, hobbies and things like that. So we take a look at everything and we set some expectations. The person coming to us saying, well, I have 10,000 to invest. Well, you really don't have many options, let alone looking at a brick and mortar or a retail location. So we kind of set some expectations, go through the process. And one thing I strongly suggest to anyone looking at franchising is do not look at the product or service. So you had mentioned, you know, like a Subways of the world and things like that. Kind of reverse engineer it, because you like it, but many people don't know why. Maybe they pass by the location on their way home from work, or, you know, it's around the corner from where they live. So I always stress to everyone, figure out what the ideal business looks like, whether it's, you know, functioning Monday to Friday. Is it a retail location? Are you, you know, sitting in your pajamas at home in front of a computer and running the business as a home-based business, but kind of figuring out what it looks like, you know, the strengths, weaknesses, figure all that out as well. But what is the owner's role in the business? Mm-hmm. You know, figuring all that out. So kind of, as I mentioned, reverse engineer it, and then figuring out which are the, you know, two or three companies that really match what you're looking for. So I think doing it that way, then going down the rabbit hole. I like Subway. So you start looking at every restaurant franchise when restaurant franchises may not even be a good fit for you. I would just encourage everyone to look at it in a different way.
Yeah, that's great advice. I mean, because it makes me think about like one of the statements you made, especially with regards to how franchise owners want some active participation by the actual the people who own the franchise, mm-hmm. or own the company that are doing the franchising. They want owners of that franchise to have some kind of an active role. And it makes me think of that movie, The Founder, with McDonald's. So, and that was the problem that they had, that if anybody's ever seen that movie, in the beginning, they were selling these franchises to, just kind of these people with deep pockets. They didn't want to have anything to do with managing it. They just kind of wanted it to be something in their portfolio. And there was all these issues with how the franchises were ran. And then once Ray Kroc started finding kind of that, you know, that solopreneur. They're out there, they're trying to make a living, doing some sales, you know, knocking on doors and trying to find those people who are really interested in kind of sinking their teeth into an operation and something right. that they can build and have that destiny. They noticed that the quality of the ownership of the franchises went through the roof. And I'm just curious, like, you know, it makes me think too, like about something like a Chick-fil-A, because Chick-fil-A is very restrictive, not restrictive, but I guess, they have a lot of, there's a lot of hurdles that you have to go through to even become a franchise owner for Chick-fil-A. And, have you ever, do you have any insight on that? I'm just, cause it's like, anytime I think about the golden franchise, like the gold standard of like how a franchise is ran, I always think of Chick-fil-A because every time I go there, no matter which one I'm at, it's always this premium level of service each and every single time. And it almost seems like that they figured something out there that others haven't.
Right. And that's, and most of the time Chick-fil-A is ruled out when you go through the process, because they do have a lot of requirements that they expect you to make and also a lot of people ask about it. Quite frankly, it's because it's one of the most inexpensive franchises out there. I believe the franchise fee is $10,000.
Yeah.
But it's an anomaly, I think, in the franchise world where, and I don't work with them directly, and this is just through reading and research on my own, where essentially you don't actually own the actual location. It's almost as if you're in a partnership with the corporate office where they expect you to run it every day for the most part. And then after the term of the agreement, Chick-fil-A takes back the location. There's no actual sale. So with the low investment, there's a lot of expectation as far as the hours. Not to say you can't make good money, but you are going to be at that location. It's not really going to give you the time and financial freedom, maybe some financial freedom, but not necessarily the time. And when the agreement is up, typically a franchise is looking to sell their business for a 2-3 plus multiple. You will not have that opportunity from my understanding. Mm. So I say that because if you reverse the engineer the process and someone tells me what they're looking for, that business, just because of the time commitment involved, the continuous time commitment, right? It's always going to be a lot in the beginning, but they expect you to kind of be in that business day in, day out. That would be one of the first companies we would rule out because of that, if that's what's, you know, important to you.
Yeah. Yeah. I had no idea. I always assumed that if you bought into a franchise, it was your franchise and you had more, I guess, ability. But I guess with Chick-fil-A, I mean, they set the rules and it's not the case as far as being able to actually have like an exit strategy and sell. You don't really have an asset, it sounds like, when
correct.
You go into Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, it's they own the, yeah, they had that, the building, you basically are, you're buying yourself a job in essence, because it's essentially, there's nothing to sell. Whereas a traditional franchise and most franchises function where you buy the franchise, 10, 15, 20 year agreement. But you know, people come to me and say, well, what about if I want to sell in 5 years? That's fine. It's just that agreement locks in the franchise disclosure document, unless there's verbiage that there could be some changes and you can sell that to to another business owner. So that's all it means. But you build equity, you build an asset, you can sell that. You know, some people start with one location, they end up with, you know, 3, 4, or 5, and they're able to sell them all at a higher multiple because they're doing, you know, so much in volume on an annual basis.
So when you're, one thing I've noticed when I've looked into just kind of some of the paperwork or requirements of starting, getting into a franchise, it seems like and I haven't looked at a lot of them, but I'm just in case that this is a limiting belief or a false belief that people may have, and it could be out there, I want to make sure that we address this, are the capital requirements that it takes to be able to even be, you know, qualified to even take on one of these franchises. Mm-hmm. And I've seen just some seriously high capital requirements where it seems like that the average person doesn't really have a shot unless they've got a big old sack of cash somewhere sitting around ready to go. When I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, in liquid mm-hmm. equity, you know, liquid worth right there ready to, you know, that has to be shown on the balance sheet. Right. Is that the case, or are there franchises out there that, you know, are a little bit more, I guess, obtainable to get started in if you're just kind of that middle class. You know, I've got a job. I'm working hard. Maybe I've saved up a little bit of cash, but like, where's that threshold at for people, you know, to get started with the franchise? Is it have to be so extreme with capital requirements, or are there some right out there?
Yeah, it's a good question, because this is where a lot of the confusion comes into play. It's you hear franchise fees, then you hear of total investment, and in the agreement they break it down. So you have a franchise fee, which is the one-time fee. It's the license access to the system. And then there's the build out if it's brick and mortar. There's the technology fees if you have to buy computers and inventories and things like that. So, you know, franchise range. So when you factor everything in, I mean, you can on the low end, 50,000-60,000 all in, and then you can go as far as the millions. So there's a huge range depending on the type of business. A good franchise is going to give you a good range based off of, you know, their existing franchisees. Are not making this up. So some systems will give you an average, a system-wide average. Some will give you a average for the first year franchisee, but you don't need millions of dollars. You know, all in investment, maybe 50, 60,000 on the extreme low end. And you have options for funding, right? Mm. So when people say, well, I can start a business up for less, and my response would be, it could be more or less. With the franchise, obviously you're getting the system. With the startup, first off, with the startup, most people it doesn't leave the Word document on their laptop. It's more of a business plan, and they don't do anything with it because there's not that, okay, let's get you going. There's not that team in place to get you rolling and get the business started. But the franchise has done all the trial and error versus the startup, which says, okay, well, I only need 1,000 for a website, but what's your time worth? You know, the thousands of hours or the hundreds of hours you spent trying to perfect the pitch, trying to perfect the marketing and working and getting quotes and, you know, in the years that go along with it. So, and as I mentioned, one is not better than the other, but you do have that advantage as a franchise owner, because everything is done for you. There's no spending all week figuring out the logo and the business plan and everything else that goes along with it. It just makes things a lot simpler. Funding wise, I encourage everyone, you know, making sure you have obviously liquidity, but making sure you have money to, you know, if you own a home and you have a mortgage and you have $100,000 in savings, you don't want to put the $100,000 in the franchise unless you have some backup money to pay your mortgage, because it's going to take a little while to get the business rolling. But there's options. You can use rollover money from a 401k from a previous employer. You can get a portfolio loan and get a loan on your investments, home equity lines of credit with real estate going through the roof. I know here where we live, home values have gone up, you know, creating a lot of additional equity in the home that you can pull out. So there are multiple options, and working with a good funding partner is key, which I always make those intros, and that initial call is free. And they'll give you, and they'll say, okay, based off of your expenses and what you have in assets in your home, these are your options. You know, you may want to pick one out of three, and these are the pros and cons to both. So, you know, definitely some options, but, you know, factor in what your time is worth at the end of the day, because a business plan that maybe had a startup of $5,000, but took 5 years to launch and 1,000 hours, you know, what did that really cost you in the long run?
Yeah. The risk is certainly something that has to be considered, you know, in terms of, you know, making sure that your personal life is taken care of as well, and not just taking everything you have and putting it to the franchise and then leaving yourself with nothing. Like, understand that there's going to be a period of, you know, kind of getting the plane off the off the runway, right, and getting it up in the air, and it's actually moving, and there's cash flow that's coming through. What about like when it comes to like your working relationship? Because I know you work with, you know, franchise owners, and you have that in place. Like, tell me a little bit about that relationship, because I'm curious to know, like, if somebody, because it sounds like that people, if they want to get into this, there's people like yourself, like people that can kind of help guide them along those decisions.
Yeah, it's funny, back in 2006, when I invested in my first franchise, I had used a franchise coach, consultant advisor. We have different titles. We do pretty much the same. And the relationship is great. Once I found out about it, I knew right then and there, I said, this is exactly what I want to do as well. On top of owning a franchise, I want to help people invest in franchises because it's literally one of the biggest decisions, you know, there's, you know, or I should say investments. You have owning a home, owning a business, which may, you know, cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars in the long run. You know, so the role in what we do is our role has no, our services have no fee, no costs, which is nice. There's no contract. We get paid directly from the franchise companies. So similar to an executive recruiter, if you had to make a comparison. Mm-hmm. So, we help you out. If you don't buy a franchise, if you buy a franchise, it's all the same. You do not pay anything. And if you went directly to the franchise company, I get this question a lot, you will still pay the exact same franchise fee because in franchising, you know, franchise companies are regulated by the Federal Trade Commission. So everyone has to be charged the exact same amount. So the value I bring to the table is that I will help you figure out, you know, business ownership, if it's franchising or not, create a business model, what your ideal business looks like. And then we'll typically figure out just say two or three franchise companies that match the model. You know, we'll make introductions to funding companies and attorneys and things like that. But the beauty of what we do is even after making the intro to the franchise company, you invest in a franchise, we are with you essentially for the remainder of your career. So down the road, if you need a recommendation or so, for example, I had a gentleman invest in a franchise a few years ago and he's in the water and smoke mitigation industry, which most people don't know franchising is even offered in that industry. And he said, well, do you recommend I expand by buying additional territory or do I buy another franchise where I get to upsell my existing clientele? So I said, well, they're both great ideas. There's pros and cons to both. What are you looking to accomplish? So we sit down and have that conversation. And once again, this is a couple of years after the investment was made in the franchise. We continue to work with them. And again, no, we do not charge a fee for that service. So we're always trying to bring value to the table. You know, we're always looking in your best interest as far as finding the best franchises that best match what you're looking for. And we do some of the work, you know, checking if territories are available, making sure that a particular person is a good fit for the franchise. And not just by looking at a website, actually having a conversation with the franchise company.
Yeah, I would imagine that the franchise companies love people like you because you're able to go in and kind of give people some advisory as they're making those decisions. And it takes a lot of, I would think it would take a lot of pressure off of the franchise company from knowing like, cause is it like a two part vetting process? Is it something where people work with you, but then when it comes time for them to apply for the franchise, they have to go through their vetting process after they've worked with you or is it nullified because they're working with you?
No, it continues. So we work together and I put together two or three companies that match and what that particular person's looking for. But at the end of the day, I take it so far and then I continue the process by making an introduction to a franchise company. And then they the advantage there is that we've already kind of discussed that particular person, their situation, got the funding and financials in order. But that franchisor, it's a two-way street. They're going to be also interviewing that candidate, again, just to make sure that they're a great fit specifically for their brand. And then that particular person is going to continue the due diligence and they're going to be vetting the franchisor. And I work with each and every person to kind of coach them throughout the process as to what questions they should be asking. So for example, the benefit of a franchise versus a non-franchise is that you have other franchisees you can ask the exact same questions. So, you know, if you're with a Subway, and I mean, in Subway, obviously you have thousands and thousands of franchisees across the country to the point where you could throw a rock and hit two Subways from where I live. So, so you can go directly to the owner, you know, talk with them, you know, have lunch, have coffee with them and get to ask them, but you get to ask all these franchisees the exact same question. Are you getting the support, knowing what you know now, would you do it all over again? So there's a lot of great benefits, in being involved with the franchise, but yes, I coach through the process. And sometimes you know, after two or three phone calls, they're just, the candidate is not feeling it for whatever reason. They feel like it's just not the best path, or there are other options, which are based, because we're looking typically at three options. So we may tend to focus on the other two and rule one out, because it's a process of elimination. We want to try to get it down to one company that really matches, you know, exactly what they're looking for. So a lot of coaching, a lot of due diligence, but it's going to be going onward, going forward. So that particular person really has to work closely with us to make sure they're getting their questions answered, because sometimes we give them questions they never thought of asking.
So I'm curious to know, like, so you own, you personally have your own franchises as well that you have ownership of up to this point. Is that part of what you're doing? Is that something you're into right now? I just want to make sure I understand that correctly, because it leads me to another question, which is, you know, what are franchises like that would make sense for somebody to get into that that are into coaching as well? You know what I mean? Because the thing, hopefully that question makes sense, because I know a lot of people in my audience, they're into coaching, they're into consulting and things to that nature, but to be able to have a franchise that you own and also to be able to do coaching as well, like, is there a certain dynamic there that you need to look for?
Yeah. So what I do now is not, so I'm partner with an organization by the name of Franchoice. They're one of the premier franchise consulting companies in the US.
Okay.
So that is not a franchise. That's a partnership. We work very closely together. So what we do is coaching and consulting of people looking to invest in a franchise. There are franchises that will, you know, are around coaching. So essentially small business coaching, where they have, there's two that come to mind. One is specifically small business coaching, and that business has done well because people, small businesses don't know what direction to move in, right? Do they pivot? Do they shut down their business temporarily? Do they do something? Do they, if it was in person, do they move their service to more of a virtual type of business? So, So there's coaching style franchises where the franchisor will get you set up as far as training and all the disciplines as far as different types of coaching, and allow you to work with coaches across the country, which is a huge, huge, huge benefit, as everyone has kind of their own specialty, especially if it's in an industry you're not as familiar with. And then there are even businesses that revolve around reducing a company's expense, which I have, you know, prior to being involved with franchise, never even heard of that type of business, or I should say did not realize it was a franchise. But there are franchises out there that'll go to businesses and say, our service essentially is free. There's no cost for all the work. We will go in, look at every single expense you have, and figure out ways to cut your expense. And if we do, and you move forward with the plan, we will split the savings, which I think is genius, because there's no upfront fee. Not a big commitment for the, you know, for the small business owner or the company, since that consultant, that franchisee is going in and trying to cut expense. So there are literally franchise options in every industry: porta potties, employment services, water and smoke mitigation, everything, you know, and everything in between, up to, you know, your traditional Subways and Dunkin' Donuts.
I mean, who would say no to that offer? I'll come in and cut your expense and whatever I cut and save, as long as it makes sense and doesn't affect the quality of how you operate, you know, we'll split it. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's a no brainer. The value proposition is, we come in and yes, we're going to split the savings, but it's going to cost you nothing. If we go in and just say, you know what, you guys are lean, we can't find any areas to cut expense, there's no cost. And it just reassures that, you know, you've done a good job to reduce your expense. But when I hear the numbers of what companies are able to save, I'm blown away. It's just maybe just renegotiating with a landlord or switching, you know, vendors and kind of consolidating everything. It's amazing what options business owners have out there.
I wonder if that's a reoccurring savings for that business. Like, for instance, let's say I'm in a, you know, 3-year contract or lease with my landlord, and you know, they help me save, whatever, $500 a month or something on my lease, or if it, maybe it's utility, something that's more in perpetuity or something. Some, I'm just kind of thinking of some random expenses that is more of a monthly recurring thing. I wonder, and it's just me like hearing this, I'm like fascinated by this business model. It's like really cool. Is that a monthly recurring payment that they get from that? Or is it something where it's just like, hey, after a year, you know, a year of savings, that's what we get paid. And then from then on out, everything's yours.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I'm just speaking on behalf of one company that we work with, but it's typically in this particular business, it's 2 years. So 2 years, and there okay. is dozens and dozens of areas that they research. So sometimes, you know, you in the first year, maybe you look at 12 different areas the first year, and whatever you save, it's typically split between 2 years. And then the following year, you look at another 12 areas in the business that maybe you can cut expense. But if it's something like rent, it's typically the first 2 years of savings.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, there's a business model for you. If anybody's looking for some opportunity, that's an easy sale and pretty
fast. Or if anyone needs that service, you know, they can contact me. I can make an introduction to a local franchisee, you know, for anyone listening. But absolutely, I think it's tough enough to stay in business sometimes. And, you know, maybe you're doing everything right, but your expenses are just not in line. You know, maybe your marketing is just much more than you should be paying. So it's definitely good to have a professional. And once again, this one particular opportunity you have, if it's a discipline or an area you're not familiar with, you are able to do a joint venture and work with other franchisees across the country. So there are so many options, and the level of support and expertise is just amazing.
Yeah. And I'll say that when your business grows and as it gets bigger and bigger, I mean, I remember my first company, which I had sold last year. It was in the special events industry. It was a very difficult sell during a pandemic, but I remember there got to a point where when I was going through the process of like kind of like working with the new buyer and going through all the line items and our expenses, I was like, you know what? There's a lot in here that I just kind of overlooked, and we could have been a much leaner business, you know, in certain ways, by going through some of these expenses. And this is a good segue. And I want to get into asking you a little bit about when somebody gets started in business, because you've got a very well-versed background. You've worked with a lot of different franchises and business owners, and your track record speaks to that. So for people who are wanting to get started in business and they're thinking about, you know, all the little pieces that they have to pull together, What do you recommend that people really think about getting started? Like some of the people that they may need to consider kind of bringing into their wheelhouse to have in place. And just what are some of those basic essentials that people should be thinking about when getting started in business?
Yeah. So I wrote a book last year, but I recently picked up a book several months ago by Dan Sullivan. He didn't actually write the book, but I forget the author, but he worked together. The author worked together with Dan Sullivan from Strategic Coach. It's called Who, Not How. And that's the title and the premise of the book. It's not, you know, how do you do things and figuring everything out, which is what I did as a new business owner to cut expense. But I also wanted to learn the ins and outs of everything. But looking back, you know, it was good because I learned accounting. I wasn't strong on accounting because I never really had to, you know, deal too much with it. So I gained a better appreciation, but it slowed me down. Whereas I, you know, instead of me going out and closing new business for my previous companies, I was out doing some of the accounting and the bookkeeping and things like that. So when you say who, not how, or have that new way of thinking, it's, you know, who can help me? Who can make that connection? You know, who can I rely on that will put me in, you know, that will take care of all my legal, my accounting, you know, my investments and things like that. So, you know, so part of the book I wrote, one of the chapters, I think it was the third or fourth chapter, we talk about building a team. And that team, in my case, I always kind of tell my story, is that it started with my financial advisor. You know, I did my own finances. I was a Series 7 and, you know, financial advisor, worked in that space, but I didn't have time to oversee it and manage it. I just, you know, there was only so many hours in the day. So that financial advisor, the who, put me in touch and recommended an attorney who took care of my estate planning and all the paperwork needed for my business to make sure I had a successor in place. And what happens in this event or in the event of a lawsuit or whatever the case may be. Who is an accountant that you can recommend that can do my personal business taxes, because you know the business expenses and profits are going to flow through. So, and more importantly, can that team all work together? And that's why I went on recommendations, because some of the legal, especially on the estate side, planning side, they had to speak with the accountant, and the accountant had to make a quick call to the financial advisor to see how my retirement was set up. So it's great to have that team. I always say to add a franchise consultant on that team if you're looking at a business ownership, call it a franchise or business advisor, because mm-hmm. We can assist in that process. But you know, not trying to figure it out all on yourself, all by yourself. There's, I jokingly say, I give away 100% of the information, but information is useless if you don't know how to apply it. And that's why I had used a business coach for many, many years, because I knew what to do, but I really didn't know how to apply it to my crazy schedule, you know, young family, a lot of hours. How do I incorporate this and do that with only so many, you know, hours in a day? So, hiring a good coach, having someone that kind of keeps you motivated, accountable, I think that's crucial. So, getting that team in place, because you don't know what you don't know. And instead of me saying, well, do I need this document versus do I need that document? I just sat down and with the team and said, and we did a conference call, I'm 30 something years old at the time. I have this is my net worth. I have two children, wife, two children, home, yada, yada, yada. What do I need? Instead of me saying and asking the questions of what I read on some website. So they put together and crafted a plan, and it was great. Now I have, I hope to have all bases covered, and they're I'm in constant contact with them. If needed, or else we do an annual review. So it's definitely some great advice. And don't spend your time researching for hours legal. Just get a recommendation for an attorney. Maybe start there, or get a recommendation from your financial advisor or your accountant.
I'll add to that, especially with the attorney. Speaking to the two of those people, the attorney and the accountant, especially. I remember last year, with everything that happened with COVID and being in that special events industry and having tons and tons of breaches of contracts that were happening.
I can imagine.
It was crazy. And, I spoke to my attorney. I was on the phone with my attorney quite a bit. And I remember at that point in time being really happy that I had made the decision earlier on to onboard an attorney, have them help me craft my contract. We worked on it together. We really covered our legal basis, because when the time came that I actually needed that attorney to step in, when the thing that happens that you never plan for, when you're starting right. to get people will build a contract and they're like, yeah. Sometimes it's like, I got to have one. So let's get one made. But actually being intentional and really thinking through the risk with that attorney by your side in your corner. And then if and when prepare for the worst, but hope for the best. But if the worst does happen, you're prepared and you've got that attorney there. Same thing with an accountant. I mean, there was times where I would just get these random letters from the IRS about something with my 941s not being, they didn't have my 941s. I'm like, what's going on? And I didn't try to figure it out. I just went to my accountant and said, hey, take care of this and make it go away. And that's what they would do.
Yeah. Scan it, send it, and just say, I need help. I don't even know what it means. And I would get those letters sometimes as well. And it was always a number was off. And exactly.
It was silly things that, and having somebody who knows how to communicate with the IRS, they know the tax code, they're going to save you a bunch of money. And that's just, but beyond even that immediate benefit of understanding, yes, you're going to help me save on my taxes, but also dealing with the IRS and doing things legally.
Not fun.
No, it's not anything I want to deal with. So I would rather have the professional get a team in place and it's, it's actually not as expensive, I feel like, as some people may you should have. It's not that bad. It's not as expensive as what it is if the worst case scenario happens. Let's just put it like that.
Yeah. I think too many people, and when you're a first time, maybe you're looking at every expense as I did, and, or I was trying to do the personal taxes on my own. And when I hired a professional accountant, it cost me triple, if not, or maybe quadruple of what I was paying. But then we found errors that went back for years that I was forgetting to take a deduction. Mm-hmm. And that paid for itself right there. And it's just, let's be honest, it's peace of mind. It's
yeah,
great recommendation. They're professional. With attorneys, I always say, you know, someone had said to me, well, so-and-so gave me a really good price for reviewing a franchise disclosure document. And I said, are they a franchise attorney? And not saying a regular franchise can't do this, but I would always highly recommend a franchise attorney, which in this case was double what they were getting quoted, because they work in that world. There's a certain expectation to these agreements and how they work. And if, or, you know, a change could be made. So if someone that doesn't have a franchise background or reviews these agreements often don't realize that. So sometimes I say to save, you know, $1,000, you may have lost out on that opportunity because maybe that the attorney doing the review didn't realize not many changes are typically made on, a franchise agreement. So, definitely don't just look at the price, get a great recommendation and, pay whatever it is and it'll definitely benefit you. I truly believe down the road.
It's the cost of doing good business.
Yes, I mean, good business.
It's the cost of doing good business. I mean, there's the cost of doing business and then there's the cost of doing good business. And sometimes you have to just pay a little bit of a premium to get the right person for the job. And, it's just not worth skimping on. And it's usually like, I've heard this quote. It makes me think of this quote. It's like, if you think paying the professional is expensive, wait until you see how much it costs to pay the amateur. Right.
That's exactly it. It may be cheap now, but you're going to be paying for it for many, many years to come. End up being a lot more than the original attorney. So, or the accountant or whatever.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
So I agree 100%.
So this book you're talking about, as far as the importance of building a team, like where can people get their hands on this?
Yeah, you can go right to my website. So because my name is so long and hard to spell, we kept it simple. So it's GG. Those are my initials. The Franchise Guide, GUIDE. So GG, thefranchiseguide.com. You have everything as far as wealth of information. You have a book. If you click on the book tab up top, my podcast, we're about 50 episodes covering essentially every industry, business related stories of career transition. And there's also a webinar. So if you're pressed for time, there's a 20-minute webinar that talks about employment versus business ownership, the risks of both, the team you should be building. If you want to try figuring out the process of a franchise on your own, I walk you through each step. So everything is kind of covered in that book, and it's a quick 30 to 40-minute read.
Awesome. Well, I definitely will make sure to link that up in the show notes so everybody knows where to find that. And what about connecting with you? Where's the best place to connect with you online?
Yeah, you can go right to the same website and there's a book a call with me button. I set up a 20-minute call. So if anyone has a question on, I heard about franchise, I'm not really sure. I don't know what direction. Give me a call. We'll typically figure it out in the first call and just to say, okay, maybe it really isn't, but I can put you in touch. Maybe employment, you know, the grass isn't always greener, as I jokingly say. So maybe you stay with your job. So I could put you in touch with, actually I work with an executive recruiter, not too far from you. Maybe make an introduction, or if it's non-franchise, I do work with other consultants and brokers across the country, but would love to see if franchise ownership is a right fit. If anything, it's a quick kind of summary of what we do, answer your questions, and would love to extend the offer to anyone that wants to book that call. So it's right on the calendar. You can book a call or send me a message. It's all right on the website. I'd make it really easy, and I return all my calls, emails, texts, you name it, is all coming from me. There's no assistant or anything responding on my behalf.
Perfect. Well, if anybody listening and you're ready to at least explore the opportunity of getting into franchise ownership and, you know, taking that leap, and it's something that, you know, through this episode and listening in and kind of getting a little bit more of a, you know, understanding of what's involved with it and some things that you need to be thinking about, definitely go and visit Giuseppe's website, contact him, book a call. And it's an amazing service that you're doing and helping people, giving them an option in entrepreneurship. I think sometimes people constantly default to this. I've got to build it from scratch. And that's the only way I can get into business. But there's also franchises, and there's a lot to be said about having something that's already proven. The system's there. You don't have to, you know, figure out and because there's so much testing that goes into, you know, building something from scratch. And I think there's a beautiful world over there when you're actually building that brand. If that's what really drives you, then so be it, go that way. But there's also a lot to be said about building a franchise and growing a franchise and going in that direction as well. And if that's the direction that you want to consider, then go and book that call with Giuseppe, get on a call with him, answer, you know, he's there to answer your questions. He's there to serve. And I encourage you to do that. Giuseppe, thank you so much for being on this podcast and sharing all of the, you know, pieces of gold that you've been able to bring here as far as business ownership, thinking about building a team. You know, we talked about franchises and everything. I really appreciate it.
Jake, thank you. It's been a pleasure. I had a great time.
Awesome.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the Introspective Podcast, where mindful entrepreneurs get their daily deep dive to uncover new opportunities, raise their state of awareness, and shift the introspective towards their next breakthrough moment in both life and business. And if that sounds like you, then make sure to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. You can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and Amazon. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow here on the Introspective Podcast.